إيه هي علوم الدين؟ ما إمام غزالي Volume 3, Chapter 6 Attachment of the World. All praise is due to God who discloses the merits and demerits of the world to God's friends. They weighed its benefits and harms on the scale and found that its harms are greater than its benefits. The world is like a beautiful, unchaste woman who attracts the people towards her by her beauty, but she has got such a secret disease which will destroy one who goes on to her. If you do good to the world for 1 hour, it does you harm for 1 year. If you carry on business with the worldly people, you gain no benefit but only loss. He who seeks the world faces many dangers and difficulties which cannot be enumerated. Whoso wants it, it flees away from him, and who does not want it, it goes to him. The world is an enemy of God. The cause is that the world cuts the ways of divine service. For this reason, God keeps an eye on it, hence he created it. The world is an enemy of the friends of God. The cause is that it presents itself with its best grandeurs, just like an unchaste woman dressed with various beautiful dresses. The world is also an enemy of the enemies of God. The cause is that the world traps them with its net of love after deceiving them and opens its door of love for them. They are deceived by its love and they get attached to it. The result is that they are dishonored and disgraced and they go away from it. Their hearts are pierced for its separation and fortune bids them adieu forever. Then there is no limit to their remorse and they seek refuge to God. They have purchased this world in exchange of the next world. When the harms of the world are many, we should know its snares and charms and then save ourselves from its deception and love. Evils of the world. There are innumerable verses of the Quran regarding the evils of the world. The goal of the Prophet was to turn away the people from the evils and the harms of the world, and so there is no necessity of collecting verses from the Quran about it. I shall mention only some hadiths. Number 1. It has been narrated that the Prophet was once passing by a dead goat and said to his companions, "Don't you look at this dead animal? Its owner is now looking for it with hate. By one in whose hand there is my life, just as this dead goat is more an object of hate to its owner, the world is likewise more an object of hatred to God. If the value of the world would have been like the wing of a mosquito, he would have not given a draught of water to an unbeliever to drink." Number 2. The Prophet said, "The world is a prison to the believer and it's a paradise to the unbeliever." Number 3. He said, "The world is caused and all the things in it are cursed." Number 4. He said, "He who loves the world injures his hereafter and he who loves his hereafter injures his world. So take what will last forever by giving up what will not last." Number 5. He said, "Love of the world is the root of all sins." Number 6. Zaid bin Akram reported, "We were once with Abu Bakr. He ordered for water and honey, which were brought to him. He lifted them to drink, but began to cry. On being asked the reason, he said, 'Once I was with the Holy Prophet and saw that he was wiping out something from his body. I asked him, 'O Prophet of God, what are you throwing out?' He said, 'This is the world. It came to me with a beautiful face. I said, "Be off." The world said, 'You have saved yourself from me, but those who will come after you will not be safe from my hand.'" Number 7. The Prophet stood by a place full of human bones and said to the people, Do you like to look at the world?" He then took a rotten cloth and melted bone and said, "This is the world." He said that the wealth and pleasures of the world will be ruined like the rotten cloth and all the people will be melted like the melted bone. Number 8. The Prophet said, "This world is sweet and fresh and God made you his representatives therein. He is looking how you act therein." Number 9. When the children of Israel were given enormous wealth, and when they were engrossed therein, they were attached to worldly pleasures, love of women and precious scents and dresses. Number 10, Jesus Christ said, don't take the world as your Lord. If you do so, it will make you your slave. Hoard up your wealth with such a one who will not destroy it, which is God. Gods of wealth of this world cannot be relied upon, but you can rely on the gods of God. He also said, O my disciples, I have leveled the world with earth for you. Don't take it up after me. One of the evils of the world is that the people commit sins therein. Another evil of the world is that the next world cannot be acquired until you give this world up. So take care and think that the world has passed away and don't live therein with happiness. Know that the root of all evil is attachment to the world. Many a time the present greed becomes the cause of man's calamities. Jesus Christ also said, the world lies behind you, and you take a seat therein. Therein, kings and women stand as stumbling blocks against you. Don't dispute with the kins, that is, your relatives, regarding this world, as they will not stand in your way if you give up connection with him and their affairs. Save yourself from women with fasting and prayers. He also said, the world searches for the people and the people search for the world. The world searches for one who searches for the next world till his provisions don't become complete for him. The next world searches for the one who searches for the world till his death. Thereafter, it catches his neck and climbs upon it. He also said, God created nothing so obnoxious than the world. He did not look at it on the day that he created it. Number 15. It has been reported that Suleiman alayhi salam was roaming in air and birds were giving him shade and men and jinn were on his right and left side. He met a hermit of Banu Israel on the way and the hermit said to him, O son of Dawood, the Almighty God has given you rain and power. At this Suleiman said, one tasbih, that is praise of God, in the book of deeds of a believer is more superior than my rain. As what has been given to the son of Dawood will end, but the tasbih will remain. Number 16, the prophet said, excessive wealth has kept you forgetful. The son of Adam says, my wealth, have you got any other wealth than what you have eaten and ended? What you have put on and got old? Have you given in charity and remained lasting? Number 17, the prophet said, he who has got no abode takes the world as his abode. He who has got no wisdom makes enmity with the world. He who has got no power of doing justice covets it. He who has got no sure faith makes effort for the world. Number 18, he said, he who gets up at dawn with the world as his object of thought is not fearing of God in any manner. God gives four conducts in his mind. Number 1, such anxiety that has got no end. Number 2, such engagement that has got no limit. Number 3, such poverty as can never make him rich. Number 4, and such hope which has got no end. Abu Huraira, number 19, Abu Huraira reported, the Prophet said to me, O Abu Huraira, shall I show you what obnoxious things are there in this world? He said, O Prophet of God, show me. Then he caught my hand and took me to a valley of Medina and showed me a place full of carcasses and stool and urine and rotten clothes and bones and hides. He said, O Abu Huraira, there were in their heads greed like your greed and hopes like your hopes, but today those are in rotten remains and those will be consumed by the earth after some time. All of these are for of the world. If you can weep at the sad plight of the world, then weep. Then we began to weep. Number 20. Dawood bin Hilal reported that it is written in the scripture of Ibrahim alayhi salam, O world, you ignoble, you are two religious men. You have presented yourself to them with your grandeur, but hatred has been cast at you in their hearts, and for that they have turned away from you. There is nothing so obnoxious to me like you, Every act of yours is mean and comes to destruction. I have recorded for you on the day I created you that you will not stay with anybody forever, and that he who loves you will be a miser. Thanks to those pious men who seek me with pleasure in their hearts, that is God, with pleasure in their hearts, those in whose hearts there is truth and who stand on the right path. Happy are they, as they will get rewards of what their right hands have acquired. When they will come to me from the graves, light will move forward in front of them and the angels will surround them. They will get mercy as they all hoped it from me. Number 21, the prophet said, there will appear such persons on the day of judgment whose merits will be high like the hills of Tomaha, but they will be ordered to go to hell. The companions asked, O prophet of God, did they say prayers? He replied, yes, they observed prayers and fasting and prayed also at night, but whenever anything of the world came to them, they jumped upon it. The prophet said in his sermon, a believer will live with two fears. One fear of his fate, which is past, and he does not know what is recorded therein. Another fear in his book of deeds, which yet remains, and he does not know what has been recorded by God therein for him. So a servant should gather sufficient provisions for himself, from the world, for his next world, from his life, to for his death, from his youth, for his old age, because the present world has been created for you good, and you have been created for the next world. By one in whose hand there is my life, there is no field for labor except paradise and hell, and there is no abode after this world. Number 22, Jesus Christ said, love of both this world and the next cannot remain united in the heart of a believer, just as water and fire cannot remain united. Jibrail alayhi salam asked the prophet Noah, O one having a very long life, how have you found the world? He said, it is like an abode having two doors. I have entered through one door and have come out of another. Number 23, Jesus Christ was asked, why do you not construct a house to live in this world? He said, the abode of our predecessors is sufficient. The prophet said, be aware of the world as it is a sorcerer greater than Harut's and Marut's. Number 24, Hassan al-Basri said, once the prophet came out of his companions and said, who amongst you who does not wish bright eyesight after his blindness? Be aware, the more he is attached to the world, and the longer is his hopes, the more God makes his heart blind, and the more one gives up the world, and the more he curtails his hopes, God gives him more wisdom without education, and guides him more without guidance. Be aware, there will come such a people after you, whose kingdom will not be all right without pride and miserliness, who will not love except for passion. Be aware, whoever reaches that age and remains patient over poverty, even though he can acquire wealth, and remains patient over hatred, even though he can earn love, and remains patient over dishonor, even though he can earn honor, and he has got no other object for those things than the pleasure of God, will get rewards of 50 truthful men. Number 25, it has been reported that Prophet Jesus Christ began to search for Reg, having fallen in storm, lightning and thunder, still he found a tent and came to it. But when he found a beautiful woman therein, he returned from there. Thereafter he came to a cave wherein there was a tiger. Then he placed his hand upon the ground and said, O Lord, you have given shelter to everything but not me. God then revealed to him, your shelter is the mercy of God. I shall get you married on the day of judgment with 100 hoor, whom I have created with my own hands. Your marriage ceremony will continue for 4,000 years. One day will be equal to the age of this world. I will order a proclaimer to proclaim. Those who were religious and ascetic will join this marriage ceremony. Number 26, Jesus Christ said, alas for one who is addicted to the world. How can he die after leaving the world and his fortunes? How does the world play deception with him and he puts his trust in it? The world plays treachery with him, but he lives out its entire fear. What he does not love comes to him, and what he loves goes away from him. What has been promised for them must come. Alas for one whose only objective of thought is this world, and whose actions are sins. How can he appear tomorrow with sins? Number 27. It has been reported that God revealed to Moses, O Moses, what is necessary have you got in the abode of the sinners, which is the world? It is not your abode. Drive out your thoughts from it and remain aloof on the strength of your wisdom. What a bad house this is. It is a good house for one who does good therein. O Moses, I am searching for one who commits therein oppression secretly, so that I may take his virtues and give them to one who is oppressed. Number 28. It has been reported that Prophet once sent Abu Ubaidah to the province of Bahrain. He went there and returned with enormous wealth from the inhabitants and placed it before the Prophet. The Ansar came to know of it and assembled for the morning prayers to the mosque. After the prayers, the Prophet said, You have perhaps heard of the riches brought by Abu Ubaidah. Then he said, I don't fear for you poverty, but I fear for your enormous wealth, as your previous nations got it. They got enormous wealth and engaged in quarrels with one another. As they were destroyed by this wealth, you will likewise be destroyed by it. Number 29. The Prophet said, I fear that you will be given the plenties of this world. He was asked, What are the plenties of this world? He said, Riches and treasures of the world. The Prophet said, Don't keep your mind engaged in the thoughts of this world. Number 30. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, In order to get peace of this world as well as the next, it is more preferable to eat bread only with salt, to wear gunny bags, and to sleep in stables. Number 31, Hazrat Anas bin Malik reported that the Prophet had a she-camel named Ajwa, which defeated all the other camels. A desert Arab came with a camel which defeated Ajwa. The Muslims were grieved to see this, and the Prophet said, It is the duty of God that he does not raise up a thing without lowering it. Number 32, Jesus Christ once said, Who is there who constructs a house in this current of sea, which is the waves of the sea? It is this world. Don't take it as your permanent abode. Jesus Christ was once asked, Give me a short advice by virtue of which God will love us. He said, Hate the world and God will love you. Number 34. The Prophet said, If you had known what I know, you would have laughed very little and wept much. Hate the world and love the next world. Number 35. Abu Darda said, Had you known what I know from the Prophet, you would have come out of every elevated place and wept for salvation of your soul, given up the riches and treasures of the world, except what is essentially necessary for you. 36. Jesus Christ said, O my disciples, be satisfied with little of the world's riches, but with greater divine service. As the worldly addicted man remains satisfied with little of divine service, but greater worldly riches. Jesus Christ said, Number 37, It is of greater virtuous act to give up the world for those who search the world for religion. Number 38, The Prophet of Islam said, The world will be broadened for you after me, but it will consume your faith in such a way as fire consumes dry wood. Number 39, God sent a revelation to Moses. O Moses, don't be addicted to this world, as you will not come to me with a greater sin than this. Number 40, once Moses passed by a man who was crying. He found the man in the same condition when he was returning. Then Moses prayed to God, O Lord, your servant is weeping out of fear for you. God said, O son of Imran, if his tears flow over his head, and he keeps his hands raised up till they fall down, I shall not forgive him as he loves the world. Wise sayings of the sages. Ali bin Abu Talib said, He who has got six virtues leaves nothing for search for paradise and for salvation from hell. Obeying God after knowing Him, number one. Number two, following the truth after knowing it. Number three, disobeying the devil after knowing the devil. Number four, saving himself from falsehood after knowing it. Number five, giving up the world after knowing it. And number six, search for the next world after knowing it. Hasan al-Basri said, God shows mercy on him who competes with another in the matters of religion, and he throws one on his neck who competes with you in the matters of the world. Luqman advised his son, O darling, the world is a deep sea and many people have drowned in it. Make the fear of God as your boat, Iman as your oar, the reliance on God as your sail, so that you may get salvation, or else I don't see any cause for your salvation. Saint Fazil said, we should ponder deeply over the works of the Quran that says, I have made adornments for the world. I have created them with the objective that I see who amongst them is great in good works. A hermit was questioned, what do you think about time? He said, time destroys the body. It creates new hopes. It takes death near you and removes light distant. A certain sage said, success in the world means failure. Cleanliness in the world means uncleanliness, and its dwellers remain in fear of the loss of wealth, of calamity and impending death. One said to Saint Abu Hazim, I have got no abode in this world, yet I complain to you about my attachment to the world. He said, look to what God granted you regarding wealth. Don't take except what is lawful. Don't spend except for things for which you should spend. If you conduct yourself in such a way, attachment for the world will not harm you. Saint Fazil said, if the transient world was made of gold and everlasting and the next world of clay, it would have been our duty to love the clay-made next world than the world made of gold. How futile is to love the transient earth-made world than to love the everlasting world of the hereafter. The wise Luqman said to his son, O darling, sell your world in exchange for your next world. You will then get benefit in both the worlds. Don't sell your next world in exchange for this world. You will be a loser in both the worlds. Ibn Abbas said, God divided the world into three parts. Number one, one part for the believers. Number two, one part for the hypocrites. And number three, one part for the infidels. A believer gathers his provision therein. A hypocrite adorns it. And an infidel makes enjoyment therein. Hazrat Baheli said, after the Prophet became the messenger of God, the armies of the devil came to him and said, one Prophet has appeared and one nation has come out. What shall we do now? The devil said, do they love the world? They said, yes. The devil said, I have got no anxiety about them, even though they do not worship idols, provided that they love the world. I will come to them morning and evening in three advices. Number one, acquire wealth unjustly, I will tell them. Number two, spend money in improper places. Number three, be a miser in places where expenditure is necessary. All sins arise out of these three matters. Ali ibn Abu Talib was once asked about the world. He said in a short account that will be taken. He said, in short, that accounts will be taken of lawful things in this world and punishment will be given to unlawful things. Suleiman Darani said, when there is in the next world, in the mind of a man, the world stands before him. When there is the world in his mind, the next world does not come into his mind, as the next world is honorable and the world which is here is an object of hatred. Malik bin Dinar said, thoughts of the world will come out of your mind in proportion to your sorrow for the next world. Ali ibn Abu Talib said, "This world and the next world are like two co-wives. A co-wife will be dissatisfied in proportion to your satisfaction to another co-wife." Hasan al-Basri said, "I saw such men to whom this world was more an object of hatred than trodden mud. They had no attention to whom it went, to whom it rested, and from whom it set in." Umar ibn al-Khattab went to Syria when Abu Ubaidah was a governor. He came riding on a she-camel to receive Umar ibn al-Khattab. The she-camel had a rope tied with her nose. Umar conversed with him, and then they came to his house, and they found nothing in Abu Ubaidah's house except a sword, a shield, and a wood stand for placing the Quran. The Khalifa said, "Why have you not kept other necessary things in your house?" The governor said, "O Commander of the Faithful, these things will carry me to the place of questions and answers, which is my grave." The wise Luqman said to his son, "O darling, you are drifted away from this world from the day in which you were born and advancing towards your death and your next world. The abode to which you are proceeding is better than the abode from which you are drifting away." Saint Farnil bin Ijaz said, "Wonderful is the man who roams merrily even though he knows that death is inevitable. Wonderful is the man who laughs even though he knows that hell is a truth. Wonderful is the man who remains satisfied with this world even though it is transient. Wonderful is the man who keeps himself engaged in earning wealth even though he knows that fate is true." Once an old man of 200 years of age came to Khalif Muawiyah, who asked him what he wanted from him. The old man said, "I wish to get from you the life that has passed and to remove death which is near." He said, "I have got no power over that." He said, "Then I have got nothing to ask from you." Hasan al-Basri said, "The life of a man will not go out of the world without repentance for three things. Number one, he could not enjoy with satisfaction what he hoarded. Number two, he could not fulfill what he hoped for. Number three, he could not do actions which ought to have been done for the next world." A certain sage was asked, "For whom is this world?" He said, "For those who give up this world." He was asked, "For whom is the next world?" He said, "For those who want it." The saint Yahya bin Muaz said, The wise men are three. Number one, he who gives up the world before the world gives him up. Number two, he who keeps himself prepared for his grave before he enters his grave. Number three, he who keeps God satisfied before he meets him. Ali ibn Abu Talib said, "The following six things are this world: food, drink, dress, conveyance, women, and perfumes. Honey is the best of food, and it comes from the mouth of bees. Water is the best of drinks. Both the virtues and the sinners will enjoy water. Silk is the best of clothes, and it is the saliva of worms. Horse is the best of conveyance. The Prophet fought riding on horses. Women is the best of coveted things to a man. He takes pleasure in penetrating his genital organ into a female canal. Thus, a vagina is the most coveted thing in a woman. Musk is the best scent, and it is the blood of a deer." Hasan al-Basri once wrote to Khalif Abdulaziz, "This world is transient and does not last forever. Adam was sent to the world as a punishment. O Commander of the Faithful, fear the world. Giving up the world means gathering provisions from the world for the next world. To remain in want in this world means to possess wealth in the hereafter. Every moment of the world will destroy a man. He who honors the world is humiliated by the world. He who hoards up wealth is thrown into wants. The condition of the world is like a poison. He who does not know it eats it, and therein there is his destruction. Live in this world like a person who treats his wound and bears hardships for a time for fear for the long sufferings and keeps patients at bitter pills for the fear of too many medicines. So fear this house of deception, deceit, and treachery. Treasures of the world were presented to our prophet. Had he accepted them, he would have not received honor like the wing of a fly. There is an hadith Qudsi that God said to Moses, when you see some wealth coming to you, tell the wealth. Punishment of a sin will come soon. When you see poverty coming to you, say to poverty, welcome to you, thanks to the sign of the religious men. If you like, follow Jesus Christ, as he used to say, hunger is my curry, the fear of God is my sign, Sufi cloth is my dress, sun rays in cold season is my provision, morning is my lamp, my feet are my conveyance, what the earth grows is my food, I pass nights having nothing, and I pass my days having nothing, who is richer man than myself? Ohab bin Munaba said, when God sent Moses and Harun to Pharaoh, he said, don't fear him. His forelock is in my hand. He cannot move his tongue without my permission, and he cannot breathe. Ali bin Abu Talib said in a sermon, O people, know that you are dead, and you will be raised up after you are dead. Let not the world deceive you. This world's life is surrounded by dangers and difficulties. Its destruction and its treachery are well known to all. What is therein will pass away along with the world, and the world will roam in the midst of its vorateries. Illustrations of the world. Number one, the first illustration, the world is moving towards destruction. The world will promise that it is lasting, but it will break its promise immediately after that. Look to the world, it is motionless and steady, but really it is always moving. Number two, second illustration, the world is like a shade. Shade seems to be steady at its outward look, but it really is moving and constantly drifting. The third illustration, the world is like dream of night and like the different ideas in dream. The prophet said, the world is like a dream and like happiness and punishment in dream. Enos bin Ubaid said, I found myself like a sleeping man in the world. He sees what he likes and does not like, and then he wakes up from the sleep in this condition. Similarly, the people are asleep and they will rise up when they die. The fourth illustration, the world is like an unchaste woman. The world at first treats very well and then leads you to destruction. The world dresses itself like an unchaste woman and calls to the people towards her. Whenever she takes to the people to her house, she will ruin them. Jesus Christ saw the world in his mind's eye like an old woman dressed nicely and asked her, how many husbands have you taken? She said, there is no limit. He asked, have all of them died during your lifetime, or have they divorced you once after another? She said, I have ruined all of them. Jesus Christ said, woe unto your remaining husbands. You are not taking any lessons, seeing the condition of your previous husbands. They do not care, even though you have ruined them one after the another. The fifth illustration. The world is like an old woman. The outer form of the world is one kind, and its secret form is another kind. Its outer form is nice, but its inner form is ugly and poisonous. So the world can well be compared to an old, ugly woman. Abu Bakr bin Ayyash said, I saw the world in a dream as an ugly woman with messed up hair. She is beating drums with her hands and many people are dancing behind her. Then she came forward and she said, if I can win over you, it will be good. I will deceive you as I have deceived this people. Then Abu Bakr wept. He said, I saw this woman before I came to Baghdad. The sixth illustration. Know, O dear readers, that a man has got three conditions. Number one, one condition is that he has nothing at one time, and that was before his birth. Number two, the second condition is that he will not see the world after his death till his resurrection. And the third condition is that is the time between these two times, that is the time of your life. This is the time of life's span. Now compare the short time with the endless time before and after your life. For this reason, the prophet said, I am in this world like a traveler who travels in scorching rays of the sun and then sleeps for a certain time under the shade of a tree on the way and then rises up and walks. He who looks to the world with this angle of vision cannot be addicted to this world. He cannot look how his days pass by, whether in sorrow and difficulties or in joy and in happiness. He does not construct any building or a house of wood up to his death. One day he saw a companion constructing a house of wood and he said, I am seeing that death is faster than this house. Jesus Christ said, the world is like a bridge. Cross it, but do not live in it. This is a clear illustration of this world's life is drifting towards the next world. The beginning of this bridge is the birthplace and the end is the grave. To construct houses on the road and to adorn them is complete foolishness and it shall have to be stopped. Number seven, the seventh illustration. At first, it seems that there is joy and happiness in this world, but it is difficult to get out of it safely. Ali bin Abu Talib wrote to Salman Farsi, the world is like a snake which is smooth on touch, but its poisonous is destructive. So be careful of what seems therefrom liking to you. When you are certain that you shall have to part from it, you shall give up all the thoughts about it. The more you enjoy the objects of happiness in the world, the more it will be a cause of your sorrows. The eighth illustration. The prophet said, the worldly addicted man is like one who walks upon water. Can he walk upon water without getting his feet wet? This is the lesson for those who think that their soul is pure, though their body is in worldly happiness. Worldly attachment becomes a stumbling block to getting pleasures in your divine services. Jesus Christ said, I tell you with truth, the worldly addicted man does not get pleasure in divine services as a diseased man does not get tastes of delicious food. If I tell you with truth that you do not hold under control your riding animal, its nature will change and you will feel difficulty in riding on it. Similar is the condition of the mind. If you cannot keep your mind under control by constant divine service and the remembrance of death, it will become hard and harsh. The prophet said, there are difficulties and dangers in this world. The good work of any of you is like a pot. If its upper portion is clean, its inner portion is also clean. And if its upper portion is unclean, the inner portion is also unclean. Ninth illustration. The prophet said, the world is like a torn cloth from its beginning to end. The end of the cloth is hanging up with a thread which will soon be torn. The tenth illustration. Jesus Christ said, the searcher for the world is like one who drinks water of the sea. The more he will drink the salty water of the sea, the more his thirst will increase and ultimately he will die. The 11th illustration. Temptations and greed of the world conduce to happiness as the greed for food is enjoyable to the belly. Everyone will see his greed of the world stenchy and an object of hatred at the time of his death as delicious foods become obnoxious in the stomach. The more the food is delicious and tasteful, the more the stool gives out an obnoxious smell. Similarly, the more the temptations are delicious to the heart, the more it will become troublesome at the time of death. The more a man has got worldly riches, the more are his pangs of separation at the time of death. What is the meaning of death except the leaving of the worldly riches? The prophet said, God likened the world to the food of men and likened the food to the world. The 12th illustration. The prophet said, what is this world in comparison to the next world? This world is like that scanty water which a finger catches when it put into the sea. The 13th illustration. Know, O dear readers, that the worldly men are like the people in their carelessness who go out on a boat, and the boatman held it up with an island and asked the boarders to clear their nature's call. Some of them returned soon after their call of nature, and some sat in the island heartily enjoying the sounds of the birds, seeing the beautiful birds and beasts and other charming things of the island. They returned after some time only to find their places in the boat made too narrow. Some of them totally forgot about the boat and settled in the island without heeding the boatman's call that they should return soon to the boat. As a result, they stayed in the island and they died soon after, getting drink and food. This is the illustration of the world. Those who forget their permanent home, which is the hereafter, and are engrossed in worldly enjoyments, they will meet with spiritual death and destroy themselves. Nothing will go tight them at the time of their death except good deeds. Number 14, the 14th illustration. Hasan al-Basri reported, I heard the Prophet give advice to his companions. The world is like a company of people who were traveling through the desert. Their provisions ran short and they faced death. When they were in this condition, they found a man coming towards them from a distance. When he came, he said to them, If I can take you to the fountains and good garden, will you obey me? They said, Yes, we shall not disobey you. We swear in the name of God. When he took them to the fountain and a garden full of vegetables and fruits, thus they were saved, and after eating them, their lives were saved. The man said, O people, now you may go. Some of them obeyed him and went away from the place. Those who disobeyed him soon were caught by enemies, and they were killed and made captives. The last illustration. This world is like a guest or a rest house built for the travelers and is not a permanent residence. The rest house is to be enjoyed only temporarily. This world is similarly a rest house for the travelers of the next world who will take benefit therein for their permanent residence. The special knowledge of this world. What is the world? Which portion of the world is to be accepted and which is to be rejected? Which is good in this world and which is bad? This world and the next world are two conditions of your mind. Everything before death is world, and everything after death is next world. The thing that gives you pleasure before death increases your greed and gives you taste is the world for you, and the thing which will give you pleasure after death is the next world. Three kinds of things are not this world. Number one, the things that will go to the next world with man and knowledge and his actions. The objective of knowledge are God, his attributes, his actions, his sovereignty over heavens and the earth and other things. Actions mean actions done for the sake of God and his pleasures. The learned man is he who possesses these two attributes. To him the knowledge of the former is the greatest, for which he gives up food, drink, and even marriage, as the happiness of the former is greater than that of the latter. This knowledge is a portion of the world, yet it cannot be called the world. It is included within the next world. A certain sage said, I fear death, as it will destroy my prayer. Another sage said, O God, give me strength in the grave to pray and to bow and to prostrate. The Prophet said, Three things of the world are dear to me, wife, scent, and prayer. Even prayer was considered as belonging to this world. The things which are to be perceived by the five senses are this world. The prayer is done by movements of the bodily organs, and therefore it is included within the world. Number two, things of the second kind. These things are not included within this world, and these are things that are absolutely necessary for a man in this world. What is not absolutely necessary is the world. What is not done for the sake of next world is the world, and not next world, just as to enjoy lawful things in excess of necessity, to enjoy silver and gold, horses, cattle, property, houses, buildings, dresses, delicious foods, are this world. Umar ibn al-Khattab reported that he had appointed Abu Darda as the governor of the province of Homs. The governor erected a latrine with 2 dirhams expense. Umar ibn al-Khattab wrote to him on getting this news, "From Umar, commander of the faithful, to Abu Darda. You have got ample worldly adornments in the places of the Byzantine Empire, but God proposes to destroy them. When this letter of mine reaches you, you and your family must come to Damascus and stay there till your death." Umar thought that it even was unnecessary. Number three, things of the third kind. Things of the third kind are intermediary between the above two classes. This is to work with the objective of doing next worldly actions, such as taking food and drink only to save your life, to wear coarse clothes only to cover your private parts, and to do work which therein there is no escape. So what is necessary for food and drink to save your life and health is not this world. Three things will go with man at the time of his death. Number one, the purity of your heart. Number two, satisfaction arising out of the remembrance of God. Number three, engagement of the mind in divine love. Purity of the mind cannot be attained if one cannot control himself from worldly passions and temptations. Satisfaction cannot be gained unless there is constant remembrance of God and keeping patience. These three things will be the cause of satisfaction. By God, by death, the existence of man does not end, but he returns to God after separation from his things of this world. From this, it is known that a traveler towards the next world must necessarily possess three attributes and qualities. Number one, zikr, that is remembrance of God. Number two, fikr, that is good thought. And number three, meditation and pious actions, which will prevent him from worldly greed. To such a man, the enjoyment of the world is bitter. If there is no health, these qualities cannot be attained, and dress and abode for habitation. So these things are also necessary. If a man takes these things to the proportion of necessity with the objective of the next world, he is not addicted to this world. For him, the world is a seed ground for the future. There are two classes of these things, lawful and unlawful. Unlawful things lead to punishment in the next world, and lawful things stand as blocks to higher ranks. To wait for rendering accounts on the day of judgment is a sort of a punishment. The Prophet said, "There are accounts for lawful things of this world and punishment for the unlawful things." He also said, "There is also punishment for lawful things, but this punishment is lighter than that of unlawful things." So everything in this world is cursed, whether it is small or big, lawful or unlawful. The proportion of a thing which helps God fear is not this world. He whose marifat, or the knowledge of God, is strong, takes great care of the world. Jesus Christ once was sleeping, placing his head on a stone. The devil came to him and said, "You have attached yourself to this world." At this, Jesus Christ threw the stone at him. Sulaiman alayhi salam entertained his people with various dishes, but he himself ate husk of meat. Our Prophet was presented the treasures of the world, but he kept himself hungry for many days and bound stones on his belly to reduce the pangs of hunger. For this reason, the prophets and the friends of God were given the most severe trials so that they may enjoy eternal happiness of the next world. So what is not done for the sake of God is called world, and what is done for the sake of God is not this world. Question: what are things for the sake of God? Answer: all things are divided into three classes. Number one, what is not done for the sake of God, such as sins, prohibited things, and unnecessary lawful things. These are things of this world. Number two, what is done for the sake of God? Number three, worldly actions done for the sake of God, such as food and drink and marriage. The second class of things are again subdivided into three categories. Fikr, or meditation about the creations of God. zikr or remembrance of God. Number three, abstaining from worldly greed and passion. When things are done for the sake of God and not for show, they pertain to the third class. They are food, drink, marriage. If they are done for the sake of God, they are next worldly actions. But if they are done to satisfy passions, they are worldly actions. The prophet said, he who searches lawful things of the world to show glory or boast will meet with his God in enraged condition, but he who searches the world to abstain from begging and to save him on the day of judgment will face bright as the full moon. God says, he who restrains himself from desires, from vain desires, will have paradise as his destination. 1940. Five things of vain desire. Passion or vain desire is composed of five things. God says of them in the following verse. Know that the world's life is a mere sport, vain play and adornment, mutual boast and increase in wealth and children. 57:20. In another verse, seven things have been counted as vain desires. In 3:14. Men have been given the vain desires of women, children, hoarding wealth of silver and gold, horses of good quality, quadrupeds, and crops. These are things of this world. Now, you have come to know what this world and what is not this world. Food, dress, and house, to the extent of almost necessity, and if done to please God, are not this world. What is in excess of these things is this world. There are things which are absolutely necessary and things which are simply necessary. There is a middle course between these two things, which is the best. The middle course keeps a borderline of absolute necessity. The saint Vaiskarni was regarded by his countrymen as a madman as he subjected himself to strict rigors of life. They constructed for him a hut which he visited once a year or once every 2 or 3 years. He used to go out before Azan for the morning and returned home after Isha prayers. His food were the stones of dried grapes, and he used to put on torn pieces of cloth after sewing what he gathered from the heaps of refugees in the market. Often the boys threw stones at him. He used to say to the boys, throw small stones so my ablution might break for bleeding. If large stones are thrown at me, the prophet looked his actions with honor and said, I am feeling the breath of God from the land of Yemen. This is a hint of Vaiskarni. Umar ibn al-Khattab delivered his sermon to the people after taking charge of the Khalifa. O people, let the inhabitants of Iraq stand up and let the others sit down. A party of men stood up. Then he said, let the inhabitants of Kufa stand up and the others sit down. When he was done, he said, let the people of Murad clan remain standing and others sit down. He said afterwards, let the inhabitants of Qarn remain standing and let the others sit down. Except one man, all the others stand down. When Umar said, do you know Vaiskarni? He said, I know, O commander of the faithful. Why do you ask me about him? By God, there is nobody more insane and stupid and fool than him. Umar ibn al-Khattab began to cry and said, I heard from the prophet that owing to his intercession, a many great number of people like the members of Rabia and Mudar clan will get salvation on the day of judgment. Haran bin Hayyan said, when I heard this from Umar ibn al-Khattab, I came to Kufa and I searched for Vaiskarni and found him at noon, washing clothes in the bank of the Tigris. I found him strong and stout, with a bald head, a thick beard, and a broad face. I asked him, how are you, Ois? He said, O Haran, son of Hayyan, how are you? Who told you about my address? I said, God. I wondered how he came to know my name when he did not see me before. I asked him, have you come to know my name and the name of my father? He said, the Almighty gave me this information. My soul recognized your soul when I talked with you. Similarly, a believer can recognize another believer. I said, tell me a hadith of the Prophet. He said, I never had any companionship with the Holy Prophet, but I saw some of his companions and heard some of his traditions. Then he recited the Quranic verse, I have not created the heavens and the earth, and what is between them out of sport. I have created them with truth, but most people do not know. 44:39. When he read up this, he raised a loud shriek and said, O Haran, your father Hayyan has died, and you will soon die. Adam alayhi salam and his wife Hawa, prophets Noah, Moses, Daud, and even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the world prophets have died. Abu Bakr has died, my friend Umar has also died. Alas, O Umar, alas, O Umar. I said, Umar has not died. I saw him alive when I left him. He said, my Lord has just now given me the news that Umar has died. Then he said to Haran, walk in the path of God's book and the believers and the pious men. The news of yours and my death have come. Don't be unmindful even for a twinkling of an eye. When you will return to your people, give sermons to them. Don't go a single step from the Jamaat of the Muslims. Invoke for me and for you. Haran, I entrust you to God. May God shower his mercy on you. You will not see me again. I am going this way and you're going that way. Meaning of this world and the next world. It will be clear to you from what has been described above that the things on which the sun casts its rays and things which the earth grows are all included within the limits of this world. And the thing is done for the sake of God and the things contrary to the above are the next world. Whatever is absolutely necessary to gain strength for divine service is an action for the next world if taken in accordance with the wishes of God. If a pilgrim is on his way to pilgrimage and takes care of his things necessary for the pilgrimage, such as provisions for himself and his conveyance, pilgrimage is not nullified. Therefore, he is engaged in the actions of pilgrimage. Similarly, body is the carrier of the soul and walks along the distance of life. So efforts to gain and preserve strength of the body for acquiring knowledge and good works are not called world, but included within the next world. The Saint Tanfusi said, I was attached to the door of Banu Shaiba of the Kaaba for 7 days. On the 8th day, I heard an unknown voice. Be careful, God makes the internal eye of one blind who takes from the world in excess of what is necessary for him. Real knowledge of the world. Know, O dear readers, that the making of the world is, number one, things which exist in the world, number two, things which man has got connection, number three, things for adornment of which men are engaged, number one, things which exist in the world are earth and the things that are on it. God says, I have created whatever is in this world as an adornment in order to try who amongst you is the best in action. The earth is a bed for the children of Adam and for their rest. Whatever is grown is divided into three classes. Number one, mineral substances. Number two, plants. Number three, animals. Animals are men, birds, and beasts. Man wants to subdue birds, beasts, and even men called slaves and wants women for enjoyment. These are the world. Men love women, children, gold, silver, crops, and animals. Man has got two connections with these things, internal and external. The meaning of internal connection is to love these things with the heart, to engage with them in enjoyment and turn all the thoughts for them. His heart then becomes addicted to the world like a slave. For this reason, all evils such as pride, treachery, show, hatred, name and fame, flattery, love of this wealth enter his heart. This is the internal connection with the world, the meaning of outer connection so that the body to take recourse to business and industry. So there is a connection of the mind with love and connection of the body with the things. All the things are for food of the body, but food of the soul is the intention with which the food is taken for the sake of God. The man who forgets his goal and soul living in this world is like a pilgrim who remains engaged in his conveying animal and forgets his entire pilgrimage. The pilgrim towards the next world remembers his goal and does only what is necessary to take him to the destination. Causes of engagement in this world. The three causes are to gather food, dress, and houses. Food is for preservation of the body. Dress is for protection of the body from heat and cold, and house is for protection of the body and to keep away from causes of destruction of lives and wealth. God created these things for the benefit of mankind. There are five necessary things for man, which are the basis of industry and main causes of his engagement. Number one, cultivation. Number two, grazing. Number three, hunting. Number four, weaving. And number five, construction. Cultivation is for growing crops and food. Grazing is for maintaining animals. Weaving is for making cloths and dresses. And construction is for making houses. For a smooth living, administrative works, judicial works, and military works are absolutely necessary. So mankind is divided into three classes from the point of view of these things. Cultivators and industrialists. Soldiers. And number three, officers of the government. The religious men are a different class. One class of religious men think that this world is a house of danger, difficulty, labor, and think also that they will be owners of fortune in the next world, irrespective of actions, good or bad. Another class of religious men think that natural passions must be uprooted for salvation, and it is not sufficient only to bring them under control. Another class thinks that it is impossible to observe religious rules, and that God has got no necessity for the divine service of men. Another class think that divine service is not necessary, as it is sufficient to have knowledge of God. Another class of men rightly think that there is salvation in following the prophets, especially the last prophet of Arabia. They do not give up this world or uproot their passions. They take from the world whatever is absolutely necessary from them. The prophet said that out of many parties, only one will get salvation. The companions asked a prophet of God, who are they? He said, the people of Sunnah and Jama'ah. The prophet was asked, who are the people of Sunnah and Jama'ah? They said, who tread my path and the path of my companions. They did not take the world for its sake, but for religion. They did not give up the world, but really they renunciated the world. They adopted a middle course in their actions, and they do not go to the extremes. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.